Tonight I'm especially excited to share God's word with you. And I have a word for us as a church, specifically if you are connected to this ministry, that will not only give you an understanding and an appreciation in your heart for where we are right now as a church, but also give you an assignment and a direction. It will give you mission and show you how you can continue to connect and be involved. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 34 in our Bibles. I just want to say Sunday morning was amazing. God was good to us in both services. I think there were 10 people born again between the two, and I just praise God for that. Can we give Jesus praise for 10 names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I'm telling you, man, second service, sometimes it's just off the chart because, you know, if you come to first service, I got to hold a little bit back because I got second service coming. I can't burn it all up first service. I got to have something left in the tank. So second service, though, man, we let it all fly. And, man, it was just good. So there's kind of a hybrid of those two services on the app and on the website. John chapter 4, verse 34. Tonight I want to talk to you about experiencing increase is no accident. Experiencing increase is no accident. As believers, God has called us to be people who are ever increasing. Somebody say ever increasing. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, he who abides in me bears fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. We see a progression there, just like God did with the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, he took them from not enough to just enough to more than enough. There is a progression in the life of every believer. The same ought to be true of every single church. It is not acceptable for a church not to grow. It is not acceptable for a believer to not grow. I could almost cry saying this right now. Because there are 62,000 people in our two counties alone, on our topos on Route 6, that not 62,000 in the two counties combined. You think nobody lives here. You couldn't be more wrong. There's over 100,000 people within a 30-mile radius. There's 64,000 people who just don't even have a church. They're not getting what you're getting. And so there's no excuse for a church to not be growing, because if I'm growing as a believer in my walk with God, then I should have ever-increasing circles of influence in my life where I am having an exponentially greater impact on the people around me. This is not a book club. This is a place where we come to receive what God has to say to all of us. The difference between me and you is not that I'm at a higher level. It's that I'm just the first guy that got to hear the message. That's why I get so excited about it. Y'all get excited. Why can't I get excited? I had one guy tell me one time, the guy's died and gone on, but he said, bless God, Pastor, Jesus never yelled. I don't know why you do. Jesus was pretty exciting. You wait till I show up to church with a bullwhip. I'll run some of you religious ones out of here. Just kidding. We don't have any of them here. Experiencing increase is no accident. So let's look at what it takes to experience increase and where we're at, the season we're in. John chapter 4, I'm going to read it from the New King James, and then we'll read it from the New Living. It says, Jesus said to them, my food, y'all know how important food is to me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. He said, doing the will of God sustains me. Doing the will of God, it fuels me, it fills me, it satisfies me. And to finish his work. And he says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then harvest comes? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Verse 37, for in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. There is a place of increase that others have worked for. It's already there waiting, but there's a way for you to tap into it, and that's where we're going to end tonight. The New Living says it like this. It says, then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and finishing his work. Verse 35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants, another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get together the harvest. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you that it is spirit and life. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that your word would burn in our hearts, that you would communicate that which you desire. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for clarity and for each of us. In our calling, in our purpose. Show us the place you have for us in your kingdom. And I pray in the name of Jesus that more than ever before this night, we would cease to be aimless and we would be very, very intentional about every day you've given us. We would live with an eye on eternity. And Father, we would look for opportunity within each day we call today. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, so let me give you some points tonight. Number one, first thing you've got to understand when it comes to experiencing increase is number one, you've got to recognize the season. Somebody say, recognize the season. You got to recognize the season, okay? Jesus was not looking at what he could see in the natural. The disciples and his followers, they saw the harvest, but they thought that it could wait. He was saying, there is no time for waiting. The time for harvest is now. Jesus, however, was not looking at things in the natural. Now, we got to define what harvest is. Harvest is the time when increase is brought into the house. Harvest is when there is realized increase in the house. You've waited, and all of a sudden it's time for it to come into the house, okay? It's the realization of increase. Jesus says the time for increase or harvest is now. Somebody say, the time is now. So let's say it again. The time is now. Okay, if now's the time, then it changes the way we act. It causes a readiness to be about us in everything we do. And you must recognize the season of life you are in, not only as an individual, but that we are in corporately together as a body of Christ here at Victory Church. And Jesus is saying, you can wait if you want to, or you can call the season what it is. You can call it harvest time now. Now is the time for realized increase. And one of the things I've learned over the years of walking with God is I've learned how to read the seasons in my life and in the ministry by the markings and signs that each of them bear. Four seasons in most places. Spring, summer, right? Fall, winter. Here, it's, you know, winter. Little less winter. Little bit of spring. Back to winter. Or as of late, rain. Right? But there are different things that mark each season that tell us the changes taking place. And I want to just say to you tonight that before great blessing comes into your life, a season of blessing, a season of promotion, a season of increase, a season of harvest, Satan will always send a barrage of opposition against you. So if you've been going through a little hell, just turn that frown upside down and know that you're on the brink of a breakthrough tonight. I know that with the season, as you come to the end of one and the opening of another, that it's marked by an incredible and overwhelming feeling of darkness, of fear, of intimidation, and sometimes even confusion or frustration. These seasons come with increased discouragement. Anybody been facing discouragement lately? Just wave at me if you be honest tonight. Amen. I'm with you. Okay? Here, never forget the purpose of discouragement. Discouragement is a demonic attitude that always has the same ending. Why don't you just quit? Satan wants you to quit. He wants to wear you down until you give up. David went through these seasons. It is normal. Psalm chapter 42, verse 11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And what does he say? I will put my hope in God. Hope is the belief that tomorrow will be better than today. Some of you have become weary in well-doing because you feel like I'm going on day after day and it's just not getting better. When is my season going to turn? Do not let go. He said, I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And what happens is in these seasons, it feels like everything you've worked for is coming unraveled at the seams. It feels like all the progress you've made is being lost. It feels like all your hard work that you've put in, you're watching slip away. Man, you've pushed forward 5 steps, but it feels like you've been knocked back 4. And it's like, what was the point? Why didn't I just settle for 1 instead of pushing ahead for 5? And the lies are always the same. Why does this matter? What's the point in all of it? Why go through all the hard work? Why don't you just quit trying so hard? Or nobody even cares what you're doing. I want you to think about David and Goliath as he stepped out on that battlefield. The lies of the enemy had struck fear in the entire army of Israel. David alone steps out like a showdown at the OK Corral. He walks out there, gives Goliath his best Clint Eastwood squint. He was fearless. And what is Goliath doing? He's hurling insults at him. He's hurling lies at him. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness in the heavenly realms. Can I tell you that it wasn't just a man speaking on that day? It was a demonic spirit speaking through that giant. As David was staring into the eyes of a lying giant, today the flip is going on in God's men and women, and we are staring into the eyes of giant lies facing you down for the same reason. Your God is nothing, and you are powerless, and your life doesn't matter. He said to David, you can't, you won't, you're not, you're done, you don't matter, you don't even count. And that same spirit is trying to speak into you, and the lies trying to dominate our mental conversation sound like this. You've topped out. You've hit your limit. You've gone as far as there is to go. This is as good as it gets. Don't make any poor plans for a greater future. Don't dream anymore. Don't you dare think of anything else. Why don't you just pack it in and call the dogs and put out the fire? But I come to tell you the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. They are for grabbing hold of those thoughts and of those lies by the neck and throwing them on the mat until they tap out. If I listen to the lie, it'll guarantee the fulfillment of what I feared. But I come to tell you, we're not smart enough to give up. We won't stop dreaming of a better future. We won't stop believing there's something greater. We're not ready to call the dogs and put out the fires. We refuse to say whatever happens in our life. We're not giving up. We're not giving in. We're not backing down from the things that God has deposited in our hearts. See, in Psalm 37:4, it says, he gives you the desires of your heart. There's two ways to look at that. We can look at that and say, man, God gives me what I want. But I choose to look at it through the eyes of John the Baptist, who said, I got to decrease so that he can increase, which means he gave me the desire that's in there to start with. Instead of listening to Satan's lies, we focus on scriptures that guarantee a bigger, a brighter, and a better future. Scriptures like Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able, I serve a God who is able. I've watched him do the impossible for 12 years. I serve a God who's able to do the impossible. All things are possible to them that believe. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. According to the power that works where? Somebody say, it's already in me. According to the power that works in us. That means you can't outdream God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Somebody say, from glory to glory. Come on. That's from one victory to the next. That's from height to height. We're just jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop. from glory to glory, from one thing to something greater. Proverbs 4:18, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter into the full light of day. That tells me that my path is the darkest today it's ever going to be, because tomorrow it's going to be brighter than it was today. That describes the sun coming up into the fullness of the day. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and to give you a hope. I think about what the Bible says in Philippians 3:13-14. The Apostle Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You got to forget about what's behind. Come on. You can't build any golden calves. Even some of our victories in God, we build golden calves around them and we cling to the past. You got to keep your eyes focused forward and not behind you. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. You've got to be reaching forward. What are you reaching forward to in the future God has called you to? To those things which are ahead. There are some things that are ahead. God has put things ahead in your life. There are greater things in store for you. Your best days are ahead of you. Amen? Not because I said it, not because it's cliche, not because I found it in a Hallmark card, but because the Word of God says He put things in my future that are greater than my present, and I've got to be reaching forward to those things. They don't just come into my life by accident. John 16:13. Jesus says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will tell you what? Oh, really? Things. There it is again. What things? The same things Paul was talking about. Things in your future. He will show you things to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. How many of you love Him tonight? Oh, He's got more in store for you than you can even begin to wrap your little blessed pea brain around. Don't be insulted. I'm not saying you're stupid. But compared to what God's dreaming for us, our picture's pretty little. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. Isn't that good? For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us the deep secrets. And we have received God's Spirit. Somebody say, I have the Spirit of God. Not the spirit of this age, of this world, in Jesus' name. But watch what it says last. So we can. Look at your neighbor and tell him we can. We can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So we can know the things God has freely given us. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Everybody lay your hand on your temples. Say, I have the mind of Christ, in Jesus' name. Now, that's not what Josh said. That's what Jesus said. Number one, recognize the season. Number two, change what you are saying. Change what you are saying. If you think about our text tonight, I love what it said, John 4:35. If you look at it again, Jesus said, do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But watch what He says next. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. He said, you say that, but I'm saying this. He said, you talk that way, but I talk this way. Well, I don't know about you, but I want my words to line up with His words. That's the power of confession. We come into agreement. Jesus corrected what they were saying. Why? Because what you say will cause delay. But what I say, or what in other words, what Jesus says, brings the promise into your possession. It takes harvest from out on the horizon and brings it into today. And we begin to experience increase when we change what we have been saying about the harvest. He said, don't say 4 months till harvest. Don't say I'm going on spiritual break for the summer. The time for me to grow is now as a person. The time for Victory Church to grow is now. We don't need to go through a summer slump, because there are people out there right now that need to hear what he's got to say. And there's more of you. We can't hold everybody in this room that show up on Sundays. That's why we do two services. Don't ever lose sight of that. Every empty seat we bring him is another empty vessel that he's able to fill. And as long as we keep bringing him empty vessels, the oil never stops flowing. If you remember the story of that widow woman. But when she ran out of empties, the oil stopped flowing. Thank God we got plenty of empties. The oil is flowing, amen? We're making room for new people. I was just talking to Pastor Aheen over Chinese. If y'all see me burping some, it's because, man, we just ate, and it's biting me. But I'm going to tell you, I'm sharing with him, I grew up in a denomination that always talked about this mystical creature called revival. And everybody talked about it. Very few, if any, had ever seen it. And I got sick of that. And I get so annoyed hearing people say, oh, and here's what would happen. The fiery evangelist would come and pound the pulpit. Revival is coming. And it would annoy the snot out of me. And I get annoyed hearing that today. Why? Because revival is here. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. I don't believe he says, eeny, meeny, miny, Brownsville. Eeny, meeny, miny, Toronto. Eeny, meeny, miny, Troy. I believe God says, anywhere there's a people hungry for my heart and seeking after me, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And where my spirit flows, souls come to the kingdom, lives are transformed, bodies are healed, marriages are fixed, societies are changed. That's the season we're in. Now, this has been a 12-year season. Welcome to Victory, y'all. You got to change what you're saying. He said it again like this in Mark 11, 22 and 23. He said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he what? He didn't say, talk to me about your mountain. He said, talk to your mountain about me. Stop complaining to God about your blockages. Well, that was fun. He's fine to hear about it. But let me tell you, at some point, something's got to rise up on the inside of you, and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to that, and I command it to be removed and be cast into the sea. I command my path to be cleared in the authority of Jesus Christ, the name above every name, the name at which every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I command that thing blocking my victory, that thing blocking the will of God, that thing blocking their salvation, that thing blocking me from stepping into where God is calling me, move in Jesus' name. And if that don't work, call Calvin Bristol and he'll bring a big dozer over and he'll move it. Yeah, he can do it. I've watched him. So I made up my mind, I'm not going to talk about the mountain, I'm going to talk to it. It's time to start speaking to the mountains that stand in the way of what God is calling us to accomplish. That, listen, that picture. You think, man, I don't know what it is. I don't know what God wants. No. Yes, you do. There's a picture in your heart of the life you want to live. Oh, ding. There it is. Who do you think put that picture there? Start speaking to that thing, that picture he's clearly painted on your heart. His dream for us to be a part of his redemptive calling. Fight for that. Lay down your life for that. Sanctify yourself for that. Sow into that. Grow towards that. And whatever you do, don't let go of that. I have found that if we're going to be successful at anything we do, you have got to have pinpoint, accurate, laser beam focus. You have got to grab hold of that thing, and whatever you do, don't let it go. Well, God has given us something to reach forward to and grab hold of. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Listen to this one. This one's really going to bring some understanding out for some of you. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the what speaks. Okay, my words are a reflection of what's in my heart. So if you got a problem swearing, you don't have a tongue issue, you got a heart issue. Don't get under condemnation. Just pray that God does heart surgery. Or change the words you're putting in it. Put his word in it and his word will come out of it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch this. A good man, somebody say, I'm a good man. And if you're a woman, say, I'm a good woman. But if you're a man, don't say, I'm a good woman. And I don't care what bathroom you use at Target, but when you're here, we're going to do it God's way. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. There is a treasure in your heart. There is a treasure in your heart. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what kind of things? How does he get them out of there? By his words. What is the good treasure he has put in my heart? I bring forth the good things. I bring forth the desires. I bring forth the dreams. I bring forth the vision. I bring forth that picture that he has painted in my heart. So what we have to do is we have to start speaking the things out of your spirit that God has put in it. Start speaking the things out of your spirit that God has put in it. That picture he's painted of you, of your life, of who you dream that you can be when you're laying in bed at night, of the kind of marriage you imagine having. Start speaking to that thing. Start speaking to that future. Number three, you've got to have eyes for increase. You've got to have eyes for increase. Okay? You've got to have eyes that can see it. Jesus said, get your eyes up. I love what he said. He says, look up. Look up. Well, we have no indication that they're looking at the ground. What is he talking about? He's talking about you need to look up. You need to look up. You need to look into the spirit realm because that's where everything starts. The spirit is just as real as the natural. Amen? Everything you see came from that realm first. God stepped out on creation morning when there was nothing and he said, let there be, and there was something. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. When God spoke, it came from the spirit into the natural realm. It's the same in your life. You're created in the likeness and image of God. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. When you speak, your words have creative power. Hebrews 1, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I am a speaking spirit. The spirit of faith says, I believe and therefore I speak, the Bible says in Corinthians. God says, I created you the same, which means your words have creative power. You got to have eyes for increase. You have to see it. He said, if you can see it, you can have it. He said, you got to get your eyes up and look at the harvest. He said, I want you to look at the fields. Now, what is that? That's vision. That's vision. We live in a dispensation of supernatural vision. Day of Pentecost, God pours out his Holy Spirit. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. He said, your young men shall what? See visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That's how you know if you're young or old. Your young men shall see visions. Do I have this right? Your old men shall dream dreams. When we are born again, God gives us a new picture of who he created us to be. And the life he called us to live. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you can see what God has given you, then you can have it. You have to be able to look at things by the eyes of the Spirit, by the eyes of faith. You have to be able to see what God has already promised for you. I remember when we moved into that little white country church at 180 Center Street, and it only held 160 on a good day. One couple times we packed 200 and some in there, and I was praying for the carrier beam in the floor. Remember, Woody, it would come up. That sucker would rise up because there was so much weight on it. People bouncing up and down during praise and worship, like, y'all got to hold it down. But I remember that place when we had a handful of people. I remember wondering, man, I wonder when God will fill it. But I always knew he would. And every week I prayed that he'd send somebody else. Every week I prayed that there would be butts in seats. Every week I prayed that he would send somebody that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember we moved into this place. Most of y'all thought, man, this was this giant cavern. What in the world is this crazy preacher, this hillbilly thinking? He built this massive place. And what'd God do? God filled it. And when God filled the floor, we moved into the balcony. When God filled the balcony, we knocked out the back walls. And when God filled that up, we went to two services. Amen? So the question is not whether or not he's going to do it again, because everything I've ever jotted down on a napkin, every picture he's ever painted in my heart, everything he showed me in the spirit realm that I could see first, can I tell you, it's already coming to pass. And you're in a place today that was built by faith, and I see no reason why that's going to stop. So the question is not, can we fill this one? And the question is, how many of these in other towns can we fill to reach all the people that need to hear that Jesus loves them? I can see a children's wing. We need an entire wing on that side where all the children and student ministries are located. We need an indoor play area because there is 4 months of winter here. It'd be a great blessing to our community. 3 weeks ago, Costco and Associates was here, and they're helping us lay out the master plan for the entire site. Doesn't mean we're going to start building tomorrow or anything else. It takes years to prepare all that. But we've got to lay this thing out to the hilt because we have a limited amount of space, and we got to make every square foot count. So they're helping show us where every roof line is going to go, and then we can start working that equation backwards and looking at that. And I'm going to tell you, the vision is there. We have plenty of vision. I can see it. I can see a 1,600-seater full three times. I can see that children's wing. I can see that indoor playland. I can see a cafeteria because I'm tired of having no place to go eat with y'all on Sundays. Now, don't be yelling at me when it's not here next month. My point is, the vision is there. We have a vision. And without vision, people perish. The number one thing families are dying for and companies are folding for and churches are closing their doors for is a lack of vision. Thank God for vision in the house. I can see full-time student ministry staff. I can see other Victory campuses popping up in other towns. I can see dying churches receiving fresh vision and renewed life and slapping that big blue dot with a white cross on it on the sign out in front of their place. 6,500 people. I genuinely believe that God wants to call this family their own. Every lost, every wayward, every addicted, every bound, every possessed one of them, Jesus wants them. Let me tell you, the devil will take them all. He's the most welcoming, cordial person you'll ever meet. He welcomes all of them. It's time the church start taking a couple notes and finding a way to receive them. Genesis 13, 14 through 16 sounds really, really similar to our text tonight. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, that goes with what we preached about Sunday, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Well, that's exactly what Jesus said about the harvest. Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. He said, I want you to look north, south, east, and west. He said, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Amen. Let's go on down to verse 36 in our text, John 4:36. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. The fourth point tonight is that celebration is just as important as serving. We're going to be known for a people who party. Amen. Thanks, Mickey. I want to be known as a people who party, and I ain't talking about like you used to party. Amen? We celebrate everything in a big way. Look down at verse 37, John 4:37. For in this the saying is true, and there's a lot there I'd love to say about celebration. It's really an important key to longevity and staying healthy emotionally and in your soul. But verse 37 says, for in this one saying is true, one sows and another reaps. The fifth point tonight is you got to know your place. One person's sowing and another person's reaping. One person was called to sow and another one's called to reap, and they don't get mad at each other because they don't have the other one's job. Don't look down at anybody because you think you're better, and don't look up at anybody because you think you're worse. We all came to the same cross the same way, dirty. Praise God. Know your place. Every person is critical. Look, if you've been here, if you've already done your mandatory 4 weeks that I encourage you to do, welcome to the family. You're a part of the program. Get to work. Every person's critical. Everybody has a job to do. There's a place and a purpose for every person he calls to this work. He saved you from something, but he saved you for something. And our mission is very simple, and it's threefold. It's to carry on the mission, the message, and the ministry that Jesus Christ began until he comes back. The mission, he came to seek and save that which was lost. The message is of reconciliation through his shed blood, and his ministry that was that we work miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit that nobody else can take credit for but him. So it's time to start putting yourself out there and start expecting God to show up in bigger ways and doing things that you couldn't do without him. We believe God for the right people in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing the right way with the right attitude. That's critical. Let's go on to verse 38, John 4, 38. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Number 6 is favor. Somebody say favor. It's undeserved blessing. It's supernatural increase. It's that to God be the glory, great things he's done kind of deal. It's somebody giving you an $80,000 car, Kevin. That kind of stuff. Now, I'm not just talking about a car. I'm talking about things in the spirit. I'm talking about things all the way around. I believe God wants to and will do some things quickly and even now if we will simply ask him, because today is the day of salvation. And Candy, if my kids were kidnapped, I don't want them back tomorrow. I want them back today. His kids have been kidnapped. When do you think the Father's heart is crying for them to come home? Somebody say today. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We can do more by faith than we ever could in the flesh. It's not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Not just this house, but your house. Okay. Jesus said, this is my church, and I'm going to build it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, gates don't chase people down. That means that the gates can't stop us from dragging the people locked in captivity behind them out and into the kingdom of God. We can go farther, faster by faith. Our capacity for increase is determined by our measure of faith. Jesus said it like this, according to your faith, let it be unto you. In other words, if you can believe for it, you can have it. Amen? If you can believe for it, you can have it. So what is the harvest he's referring to? Well, Jesus is talking specifically about people. Nothing in this world matters more than people. I'm not going to take any of my clothes or my boots or my watch or my truck or any of the things in this life I have. None of it's going with me to heaven. But I do get to take the people that I had the privilege of introducing to Jesus Christ. People are the only thing on this earth that are eternal. That's why they're the only thing worthy of our investment. God cares about people. We must care about people. Amen? Flip over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and we'll close this out. If you have a cell phone, why don't you take that out too? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Here's what Jesus said. I'm going to read it from the New Living. He said, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field. Three things right there Jesus says right off the bat. Number one, he says, I can't do all this alone. Number two, he says, we are a part of something great. And number three, he says, prayer is the key to reaping the harvest. Jesus is the one who said in Luke 11, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open to you. That means the more I ask for, the more I receive. The more I seek, the more I find. The more I knock, the more he opens. He said the harvest is great, but it awaits. And to capture it, we must pray. We must ask. We must seek. We must knock. What's ask start with? What's seek start with? What's knock start with? Not in. A-S-K. What's that spell? Ask. That's the key to getting into greater increase. Prayer brings in the help. Help brings in the harvest. Say it again. Prayer brings in the help. Help brings in the harvest. And so we pray like it all depends on him, but we work like it all depends on us. And so tonight, I want to introduce you to a new ministry, one that's been around for some time, but it's called VIP. Somebody say VIP. VIP normally stands for a very important what? Person. For us, it's Victory Intercessory Partners. And it's a group of people who are going to form a shield of prayer and a covering over this ministry. That through prayer, we are going to intentionally tap into the harvest that God has in the now season for not only your life personally, but for the ministry corporately. And I'm talking about a network of prayer warriors who are always available to act on intercessory alerts that are sent out to you. People who are willing to make the spiritual and emotional investment it costs to see the will of God in heaven come to pass on earth in each individual need that we send out. Now, you can receive push notifications on your phone. Somebody say push. Whenever it pops up, and like you got one today about service tonight, many of you are nodding your head, yes, that's called the push. But push is P-U-S-H. Well, let's use that. Pray until something happens. So when you get a push, it's time to pray. And we're going to pray until you feel a release. And my question for you is, what if everybody prayed about that need like you? Uh-oh. So God has placed you in this capacity to use the tools that you've been given here on how to pray so that you can bring the incredible things that Jesus bought with his blood to pass in our lives, in our midst, in our region, so that lives will be touched for the glory of God and so that we can build a legacy. Can you say amen tonight? Are you still with me? I didn't lose you, did I? Okay, you excited about it? Oh, wonderful. Praise God. Okay, get your phone out. If you got a smartphone, let me see it. Here's what I want you to do. If you don't have the app, I want you to download the app. If you need our Wi-Fi password, it's Victory One. That was pretty difficult. Way to go, Chris. Victory One. Download the app in your app store. It's Victory Now. And there's great ways to stay connected with that tonight that I don't have time to get into. I want to encourage you again that you can do your giving through the app now. If you're a tither, it's a whole lot easier because you can just set it and forget it. It's automatic. It's safe. It's secure. Simple. And it's just easy. But if you go into your app, if you already have the app, there's a place that says settings. Settings. If you have an iPhone, go to those bars in that upper left corner, hit that, and you'll see inside of that a gear says settings. You'll have to help me, Chris Martin. I don't have a Droid or a whatever that stuff is. I got a dummy phone. Okay? And then you'll see notifications. Tap notifications. And then you'll see one that says general. That should be on. And then you'll see one that says Victory Intercessory Partners. And turn that one on, okay? And that will give you the ability to receive pushes on prayer needs. And so here's what we're going to do with that. The next step I want you to take is I want you to either email me or text me. The email is on the screen. You can text me at the number right under it. And if you want to participate, you say, I will pray weekly for these needs. Now, I'm not asking you to quit your job. I'm just saying I want you to intentionally and seriously pray about this, even if it's for 2 minutes focused on that thing every single week, okay? And all I want you to text me is I'm in and then your name, because if it just shows up your number and I don't have it, I won't know who you are. I'm in and your name. Or you can email me the same thing. I'm in and your name, okay? And here's why we're going to do that. You're going to get updates every week on the number of souls saved. If we're giving birth to new lives in the kingdom of God, we have got to cover them in prayer. That's crazy. Imagine giving birth to a child and then just leaving it to itself. We do a lot to connect with people who just got saved, but this is another layer we need to take care of. Okay? So we're going to send you that praise report. And we're going to tell you how many people not only got saved in the service, we're going to tell you how many people got saved in our prison ministries, we're going to tell you how many people got saved in kids' ministries. It's the entire reason why we're here. So that's an opportunity to celebrate. We can also send out to you emergency prayer APBs. APBs, all points bulletin. Sometimes there's emergencies that come in, they need prayer right then. We'd be able to send you those. And then also what we'll do is I'm going to send you where I'm focusing in prayer and where I'm putting my faith for the vision that God's given us for the church. And then we're going to come into agreement, Miss Linda, on that point of contact. Now listen to this statement. The greatest number of believers focused on the smallest point of agreement produces the most powerful results. Instead of being like a shotgun, well, we want to be like a Barrett 50 cal. We want it to be like a laser beam, and when it hits, I mean, we want maximum impact. The greatest number of people, believers, focused on the smallest point of agreement produces the greatest result. Here's your first assignment. I'm going to give it to you. First assignment right now. Number one, we need to pray for an increased hunger, because Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. It all starts with hunger. And number two, we need to pray for laborers in the harvest he's called us to. So hunger and help. That's easy. 2H. Hunger and help. Okay? We're going to pray for a hunger, greater hunger, and for more help. But we must pray our way into the greater things that God has in store for us. You say, well, Josh, why do we want to grow? Why should we want to grow? What's the purpose? Is it to be the biggest? Is it to build another building? What's the purpose? Is it for more money? What is the purpose? The purpose is very simple. We just want to reach. Thank you. I see you with your finger up. I just want one more life. We got room for just one more and just one more and reach one more soul and reach one more family and touch one more marriage and save one more kid. One more addict set free like I was. Is there room for just one more? Do we have room for just one more? So souls are what drives everything we do. Every dollar we spend, every ministry we have, everything at this church comes back to soul winning. We exist to reach our world. It's our responsibility. Like I said, Sunday and second service, we have a responsibility to leave a mark and make an impact on our generation for the glory of God. And that is what we're doing. So congratulations. Can we give each other a hand and give God praise? Stand with me tonight if you would. Father, we thank you so much tonight for your word. We thank you for challenging us. And Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just come to you and we ask that you would birth in every single person, not only in this place, but in our region, God, with a greater hunger, a greater craving on the inside, a greater dissatisfaction with what they already have and know about you, that they would reach for you in a greater way than ever before. And when they do, they would find you. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for help. We thank you that you have called us, Lord, to the harvest in these fields. And Father, we thank you for the harvest that you've already brought in. But Lord, we know that there's still a harvest out there waiting and storms are coming. And we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you would anoint every single person here tonight. God, pour your spirit out in their lives in a greater way. And your grace, so that we could reach the people you put within us, within our reach, within our sphere of influence, that we would make a difference, that we would have the words to carry that would bless them and lift them out of their place of darkness and despair. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you thanks. We give you praise. We come into agreement right now, and we ask for experience of increase in every area of our lives, personally and corporately. Father, we thank you for it now. Father, even in those fields that we didn't work, areas we didn't sow, I believe there's harvest coming in off of those things because there are people out there that can't find anywhere else. You know, God, what you have here. I pray that our hearts be undivided towards you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, we be undivided toward each other. And I ask in Jesus' name that we would move forward and we would show as many people we can your way of doing life. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Can you give Jesus the ovation one more time tonight? Amen.